Welcome to WGN Extra. Is that what we're calling this now? I gotta figure it out. Is it WGN Plus?
WGN Extra.
We're extra. Extra special, Bill.
I've been calling this Mully and Hanley. Should I stop calling it that? Just comfortable referring to us as Mully and Hanley.
I would like to be the fabulous sports baby if you want to know the
wouldn't
truth.
Wouldn't that be nice?
No.
I will choose Ed Till.
I may not like what you say.
Ed Till.
But you'll say it anyway.
For people who don't know, Ed Till had a show on for 3 years or 4 years.
I don't even know how long, but it was on AM 1000.
And the beauty of Ed Till is he would make a statement and then take callers who agreed with them, and he would argue with them after they agreed with him. That's beautiful. He would say something.
I got to find out where he is.
Like,
now.
For instance, we just had Connie Payton in. So Ed Till would say, her husband, Walter Payton, greatest football player of all time. And then people would call and they'd say, Ed, I agree with you. And he would chastise them. What's wrong with you? He wasn't the greatest player of all time.
Or he'd say, you know, Connie Payton's on to talk about the Little Otter Swim School. And it's important to learn how to swim. And then he would say, who needs to know how to swim?
Swimming's ridiculous.
He is online on WGN Extra.
Ed Till is?
No.
Oh.
The Ed Till Show.
T-Y-L-L, I believe, right?
Yeah?
Yeah.
His theme song was just atrocious. Blog Talk Radio. I don't know. It just blocked me out here. Oh, here.
I used to listen every night, but I would feel empty inside.
The Ed Till Show. Irreverent, sarcastic, edgy, avant-garde, acerbic, offbeat, outrageously hilarious.
Yep.
America's best talk radio. I liked Ed Till, though. He was a nice guy.
It's the strangest thing because I did find myself listening on an almost nightly basis. I'd miss every once in a while, but I just thought it was such an odd format of go on, agree with me, and then tell that person that they were wrong. It was crazy. I don't know if he came up with that or if somebody said, here's a novel approach. No one's ever done this. Make a statement, have people agree with you, make fun of them.
Many years ago, and I know you'll remember this, we went to Turks and Caicos with Jim Cook from the Sam Adams Brewery.
Yes. I'm Jim Cook.
Oh, that's good.
Sam Adams, the greatest beer.
Sands of Paradise.
This
grains of paradise.
Grains of Paradise. That was Jim Cook, right.
I'm telling you that it was white ale, I believe.
That's
and it was good, but yeah. When it came out the other end, all I could smell were the grains of paradise. It just was, it
oddly,
smelled like it.
Used that in their ad campaign. You would have thought they would have jumped all over what you just said for their ads, but no, they left that alone.
No, but so he had like a whole plethora of radio stations that went to the beautiful island of Turks and Caicos, where honest to God, I've never seen water that turquoise in my life ever.
Stunning.
Again.
Yeah.
We had a great time. There were various radio people there. Some we knew, Opie and Anthony, when they were together. Tom Likas is the one that stands out.
The worst.
I'm locally born and bred, as are you. I'm a radio nerd, but I am mainly local in my radio nerdness.
Right.
So I heard of Tom Likas. I didn't know what a big commodity he was, whatever.
That's the best way to describe him. What a big commodity.
Well, I mean, people
really
talked about him, you know, if you
got a lot of press.
Totally.
Did. Sure. But he did because there was a game he played. You know that, right?
What was his game?
His game was to just be as outrageous as possible
in a mean, jerky way.
One of the days we were there, I was watching him because I'm like, I've heard this guy, I want to see what this guy's like. So this is how he started the show by saying all women want to be sexually assaulted. That was his opening statement. So then of course the phones are lighting up like crazy because what he just said was idiotic and not true, but he stood by that for his whole half hour fight segment. No, deep down, I don't care what you've been told or what you think you know, all women really want to be said. That was his stance. And I'm like, oh my God, did this guy ever just sell his soul to the devil?
Is he still on the air too?
He's still on somewhere.
With Ed Till?
No, separately. They're not working together.
I just don't understand. Listen, I know when you're an actor and you're in a, you're playing a role.
Right.
But I don't believe in acting when you're on the radio because you should be yourself. You shouldn't be playing a role.
But there's so many guys that are.
Well, that's stupid.
I heard somebody make the point a couple of years ago that if Rush Limbaugh knew he could make $5 more a year hawking the left instead of the right, he would be extreme to the left. That it's such a game for him. And I don't know him, so I don't know for sure. But I understand that argument.
Tom likes a show. You can find it at blowmeuptom.com.
Love to. Show me where the button is.
Thomas Joseph Likas. All right. American talk radio personality, best known for hosting the Tom Likas show.
Oh, yeah, that's where I know him from.
And it follows the hot talk format.
Yes.
Which brought Likas much success, particularly in Southern California and the radio market there. I just don't get it.
He was on here for a bit. You heard him here, right?
Where?
Tom Likas, his show ran here for a little bit.
At GN?
No, not GN, in Chicago.
No, oh, I GN guess wouldn't. It came in syndicated for a while. I didn't listen to it.
I think on CKG, I think, at night for a while.
Yeah, I don't understand why anyone would want to go on the air and spark such rage from callers and from within, because I'm telling you, with Luke Perry having a stroke and John Singleton, I don't want, I mean, that is what, you get your blood pressure up, you're going to die.
But there's, it's devil's advocate radio.
How is that fun though?
It's not fun, but it's sadly effective, because you're saying something that's so idiotic. There have been people here at WGN over the years who have employed that method. You know that, right? Where they'll just say something knowing it's going to steam people, because the game is to get people to A, listen, and B, respond. So if you say something idiotic, you know, Nazis, not that bad a group, really, when you stop and think about it. What's going to happen to the phone lines? They're going to call up and go, hey, wait, did you just say that Nazis aren't that bad of a group?
No, Jerry Seinfeld just said it. I love how you threw your voice so Jerry would get in trouble.
Right, to get him in trouble.
But we say idiotic things every day.
By design.
But not to spark anger. Right. That's the difference.
Right.
I don't understand how that could be a fun job.
On a daily basis?
To like get all riled up where you're yelling at people. That to me is not fun.
Right.
I do enough of that at home. Why do you think I come in here?
To get away from it.
Yes.
All. I know.
I want to have fun.
I know.
I mean, with us, what you see is pretty much what you get. Dopey.
I like to think so, but then, like, if you saw, did you spend any time watching Likas when we were there at this thing?
I just saw.
He was miserable.
You know, it was like gorgeous, sunny, warm, and he's wearing like a black overcoat with a black T-shirt and sunglasses,
right,
and his black dyed hair.
It's the uniform.
It was just sucking in all the sun away from all of us.
Right.
That was not fun.
We came home more pale than we left, and we were in the most sunny part of the world.
Although I thought he walked up to us and said, good job or something. Am I imagining that?
I don't remember that. It's possible.
He's a radio legend, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know what to say about that.
Would you tell us about this person who may be leaving Saturday Night Live? This is sad news. I hope it's not true.
Well, I don't know if it is. What's Hot and What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers, the heating and cooling people.
60-Minute Men.
Yes.
They're the 60-Minute Men.
Thank you very much. Kate McKinnon is nearing the end of her contract at Saturday Night Live, and Variety.com is saying who knows what might happen the next few episodes. Kate McKinnon, a cast member who has won plaudits.
She's won plaudits?
I've never heard that word before. Huh. For her impressions of everyone from Hillary Clinton to Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, which I don't know that I like.
Oh, I do. You don't like when she does the Rudolph Giuliani?
It's become too weird where he's a bat, and it's really weird.
There's a lot of weird finger movements, like diabolical finger movements.
Yeah.
And but it's more caricature than accurate portrayal of him. But I don't know. I enjoy watching it.
I enjoy watching her with whatever she does. She's noticed they haven't been using her very much anymore.
No?
I don't feel she's been in, I mean, maybe with the open of Rudy Giuliani or some other people, but I haven't seen her in sketches as much. I mean, before it's like she was in everything. Now Cecily Strong is in everything. Mm-hmm. And she's gotten so much better. She's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Kate McKinnon, she is nearing the end of her contract with Saturday Night Live, according to two people familiar with the matter. And while her representatives and SNL producers are working to find a way to keep her appearing on the program, it's entirely possible that McKinnon's sketches over the next few weeks could be her last as a full-time member of the SNL cast.
Yeah.
Spokeswoman for us, Saturday Night Live, declined to comment. SNL has three original broadcasts left in this 44th season. I've been very bothered that I've been tuning in the last three Saturdays and nothing new.
And they're reruns from just a few weeks
ago.
Yeah,
I don't understand why they do that.
I think because in their mind, the material is still, not fresh, it's still fairly relevant. It's things that have happened fairly recently.
McKinnon, who has appeared in several movies and in ads for Ford. Did I know that? Have you seen it?
I'm trying to think if I've seen her in any Ford commercials. It's possible. They don't stand out.
She had a 7-year stint on SNL. She has an intriguing new project on the horizon. She's slated to star in a dramatic limited series about disgraced Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is that? She'd also executive produced the series, which is being eyed by Hulu for possible inclusion in their lineup.
And she's been in several movies over the last couple of years, almost always playing like the best friend. I don't know that she has led a movie. I don't think she has starred in a movie. Nothing comes to mind. But I've seen her play, you know, the star's best friend or star's co-worker a couple of times.
I love her.
She's really good. I would say right now she may be the cast's most valuable member, I think. I'm trying to think of who would be more important to that cast right now. But she's really, really talented. Somebody said in the... Remember during a crosstalk with Steve Cochran show about a month ago, somebody said... It may have been Steve himself who said, I think she's the best woman that's ever been on Saturday Night Live. I'd put her in the top 10 for sure. I'm not sure she's the best that's ever been on the show ever, but I'd certainly put her in the top 5 or 10.
I think she's amazing. She's very funny. She's so good. She really can go so many different ways with the characters.
Yeah.
Characters.
Yeah.
I think she might be the strongest at this point.
Of the current members, right.
But I got to tell you, there have been some that have just really they've moved up on my SNL ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel guilty because when Michael Che and Colin Jost first started on Weekend Update, they were not very good. They didn't have a lot of chemistry. Now they are fantastico.
Yeah. The first season wasn't great.
Yeah.
Where they were the co-anchors, but then they figured it out.
I love Beck Bennett. He just cracks me up. He plays a part. He plays in A.D. Bryant's new series that I cannot remember the name of right now.
My wife and daughter have been watching it.
I enjoyed it. It took me an episode or two to become invested in it, but I really enjoy. I can't think of the name of it. But Beck Bennett plays a part that you will love.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
Because I don't want to give anything away, because I guess I was kind of surprised to see him. Shrill is what it's called.
Right.
Love it. I really love it. So you have your Beck Bennett.
So he's moved up on your rankings list of current cast members.
Yes. A.D. Bryant's pretty talented.
Mm-hmm.
I think she does a good job. Che is great. Pete Davidson, I said this before and I'll say it again. I love him and I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah. He's an enigma.
They have been putting him in more sketches lately.
Where he laughs through the whole sketch.
That's what I mean.
If there's ever a classroom sketch, I can guarantee you Pete will A, be in it, and B, laugh through the entire sketch.
He played a Game of Thrones person recently and didn't laugh through it.
Oh, he didn't?
But they're putting him in a lot more sketches. Mikey Day is pretty good.
I like him a lot.
Except I don't. He's a grown man. Mikey?
Name Mikey. I know.
But I think he's pretty good. We would talk to any of these people, and for some reason, SNL is not letting them come on our show.
Right.
I don't get that.
I think it's because of your attitude.
I love them. Heidi Gardner, I'm a fan of hers. I think Nick Giglio loves her. I think she's fine, but every character she does is very similar.
I can see that. I can kind of see that. I do enjoy her work.
She's great.
She's I like a person, male or female, who totally commits to the character and she does do that.
I think she's great, but I would like to see her step out of her comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because I think she'd do great.
Well, here's what happens sometimes. Like, let's say Kate McKinnon does leave. She's got three more episodes, and then her contract is up. It puts pressure on the remaining women to step up the game a little bit, so you may see that.
Leslie Jones?
Yep, she's on the show.
Colin Jost, love him.
Yeah, I do,
love
too.
Love him, love him, love him. Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, she's very strong.
Alex Moffat has gotten unbelievably great on the show. I know he was just a featured player to start, and we didn't see much of him.
Yeah.
Everything he does now, I think he's awesome.
And when they put him with Mikey Day, and for some reason, if one of them is in a scene, the other one is, I don't know if it's because they're co-writing it or the writers know that they gel well together.
Good pair.
But it's, yeah, it really is. They're always good together, not just as the Trump brothers, but anybody else they play in the same scene whenever they're playing off each other. It's nice.
Really good. Kyle Mooney, just love him. He's not in very much.
Yeah.
And he's very similar.
Almost always, yeah.
Yeah. And I love him. Ego Nwadim, I don't. She's been showing up in more and more sketches. She's pretty funny. Chris Redd, I go back and forth on. I know he's from here.
Yeah.
I love him. I don't know if maybe they don't give him a lot of great roles.
They don't give him enough stuff.
They just don't.
Yeah. I'd like to see him give him a little bit more to do.
Cecily Strong has just blossomed.
Yeah, I like
she is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Kenan Thompson, who cares what you think? He's Kenan Thompson. I adore him.
He's been on the show. We were in third grade when Kenan Thompson joined Saturday Night Live. He's still on the show. He still makes me laugh a lot.
And Melissa Villaseñor has stepped up to the plate.
Yeah,
her impressions have always been fantastic, but they're slowly giving her more and more parts, and she's really good. And Daryl Hammond does a great job announcing.
When Kenan Thompson does Big Poppy during the Weekend Update, when he's just describing various foods and things that he likes to eat, as dumb as that is, I can't stop laughing. I don't know what it is about that. It's just very funny.
Jim and the boys like that, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not really that funny. And they're like, I don't know. It's making me laugh.
I've described it to people, and they just go, and that's funny, right? And I go, yeah, it's really funny because he's Big Poppy telling you about some sort of a pineapple side dish that he's eating. And they go, why is that funny? And I go, don't know. I can't tell you why. It just is.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
I'm okay with stupid, though.
Yeah.
So, look, you know, let's see what happens with Kate McKinnon, but she may be out of here.
Send in a demo tape, Wendy. This is your chance.
I don't want to do that.
Send in a demo.
I'll send in the clowns.
Send in the clowns. Isn't it Rich?
Rich who?
I don't know. Send him that. Just send him that. You'll get it based on that.
All right.
All right. Kim Gordon will be by unless she's been listening to the show, and she'll give you the news and then more of Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thank you. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. All right. This is a strange way to get into this story, but first I will ask you this. Did either of you do plays in high school?
No, I wish
you were not part of the drama club.
Not in high school. I did them when I was a little younger.
You did? In grade school, school age? Do you remember the plays that you did?
Of course. You're looking at Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Did you really?
You were Charlie?
Charlie Bucket?
Yes.
What grade?
That's so cool.
Probably sixth grade.
Yeah.
Really?
And then when I went to summer camp, we did plays.
You did?
Yes. And that was in high school.
Also memorable ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
In Hebrew, yes.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That was very cool.
Which one stands out? One or ones stand out?
Oh, we did Mary Poppins.
In Hebrew.
We did Wizard of Oz. We did Fiddler on the Roof. Somebody did Oklahoma. I did South Pacific.
Yeah. Wow.
That was pretty cool.
100% in the Hebrew language.
Yes.
That's impressive, Ken.
Ask me what we... If I
wow, that must have been hard to
learn. Were you learning it phonetically, or did you know what the words meant?
No, I can read Hebrew. I don't... You know, you kind of knew what the words meant because...
I'm impressed, Kim Gordon.
Thanks. You knew the gist of the of the musical, and that was the point, is to help with your conversational Hebrew.
Yeah.
You know, kids were on all different levels, so some understood more than others.
Yeah.
So my Hebrew wasn't great, so that's why I was in the chorus.
Kim, I Googled your name, and here's what came up. Willy Wonka and the Kreplock Factory. What is that?
If we're doing large chorus, I was in Pirates of Penzance and HMS Pinafore.
Oh, very impressive. Very impressive.
And the Mikado. But that was just the, you know, small chorus.
Yes.
Yeah. At large chorus.
That still counts. So. You still get credit.
Yeah, I know. But if I, you're still part of it.
If I knew what I know now, what I...
You would have done more, I bet.
I would have really gotten involved in theater, yeah. 100%.
Me too. I'm really sorry that I didn't.
And band. Stay in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
What
I played
was
basketball.
You against it? It was a basketball?
I was class president, which I didn't really do anything. But I played basketball and probably drank too much in high school.
Well... You could have done.
Smoked cigarettes.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
I would have been very good. Do you understand me?
I bring this up because there's a story about these kids, high school kids.
Well, wait, you didn't tell us if you were in.
Oh, I was in a bunch of them. I was in almost too many to mention.
Toot!
And did you have starring roles?
I didn't say I was good in them. I just said I was in them. More times than not, I had not the lead. I don't remember ever having the absolute lead in a show, but I was always like in the, you know, two or three or four lead guys, I guess. Except in Oliver, the first one I did in grade school, I was in Oliver, and I was orphan boy number 9, which my parents were like, you couldn't have been like orphan boy number 4 or 5? I'm like, no, Patrick Daly's orphan boy number 4. You can't take a role away from Patrick Daly. He's too good.
When Michael was in 7th grade, they were doing Bye Bye Birdie. And I said, you should just... He'd never done a musical.
Yes.
I didn't even know he could sing. And he was going to go... we watched the movie, and there was a bartender in the movie who might have been played by Dick Van Dyke. I can't even remember now.
Dick Van Dyke is in the movie, but he's not the bartender.
There's someone who was... It's a really small role, and that's what Michael went out for. And he sang his song and whatever, and the teacher's like, you know, here, could you do this song for me? So he comes home, and we're like, did you make the part? And he goes, no, I didn't get the bartender. And I said, well, did you get a part? And he goes, yeah, I'm Conrad Birdie.
Oh, that's
so he got,
bad.
Like, top of the heap.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And he was real... Jim and I watched him the first night looking at each other going... Did you know he could sing?
Yeah.
No, did you? It was pretty impressive.
Oh, that's excellent.
And then he went on in high school to do Judas and Jesus Christ Superstar.
I remember that.
He was pretty good. And in fact, I just was looking today. They're doing auditions for SpongeBob the Musical, and I'm going to tell him that he should audition.
Yeah.
But they don't take... I was going to say they don't take young kids, but this Spielberg's doing a remake of West Side Story, and
with
a girl from high school.
Well, and he lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Yeah, that helps.
Right.
I would say that as I walked in the
That's
door.
Right.
But how about that? She goes for the, she sends a video into Spielberg to play Maria, and she's a high school kid.
It's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive.
I can't wait to see that. My favorite musical. But
know it's coming to the Lyric Opera.
Yeah, I know. It's there, I think.
Oh, has it started?
I think so. I got to go see that. But I should have done more theater. I can't believe you were only orphan number 9.
I was orphan. That was the first school
John
play.
Lennon?
Number nine. Please, sir, I want some number 9. So by the time I got to 8th grade, we did Jesus Christ Superstar.
You did too?
And I was Jesus in it. And my dad's response to that was, well, you're the only Jewish kid in a Catholic school. They had to give it to you. There was no debate. You had to get it. And then I did a bunch in high school, but the reason I bring it up is this. A school in New Jersey was doing a production of Alien the Play.
Alien the movie
you know
with Sigourney
the movie
Weaver?
With Sigourney Weaver and Tom Skerritt and Harry Dean Stanton. And, of course, Wendy, I'm not going to leave out Yaphet Kotto. I know how upset you get if I leave out Yaphet Kotto. The teacher, the guy who's in charge of the plays there at this school, I don't know if they tell us in this version of the story, but in other years, he takes movies and he adapts them into a play.
But Alien, that doesn't seem
Alien
like...
Alien doesn't sound like it would adapt well, but I watched a clip from it on YouTube.
Is it good?
It looks so good.
Get out of here.
It looks so good. They have, I don't know if you remember, but in the movie Alien, Tom Skerritt is like the head of the Nostromo, the ship.
I love him.
He's got a lot of black hair.
Yes.
A big black beard and a lot of black hair. And whoever was doing the makeup on this kid, because it's like a 14-year-old kid playing Tom Skerritt, nailed it. He looks just like him. It's amazing.
Wow.
So the big surprise was they did their last performance of the play on Friday night. The guy who co-wrote it, the head of the theater department there at this school, said he wanted it to be a big deal because it's the 40th anniversary of Alien, and he wanted to bring it to the stage, and he did. And the surprise to everybody in the room was Sigourney Weaver showed up.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
Isn't that cool?
What was it? Does she live in the area?
No.
Is she friends with the theater director?
No.
How in the world?
They just told her about this, and she's like, oh, wouldn't this be a nice surprise to show up?
God, I love her. Wow, that's so nice.
Isn't that the greatest thing an actor can do is just to... Surprise!
Yes.
That's very cool.
There's pictures online of all the kids in the cast posing with her, and you can see in every kid's face. I mean, when I first heard about this, I'm like, I don't know if I'd be that impressed if I was in high school, because you didn't live through when Alien and Aliens came out, so you're only hearing about it second and third hand. But then she shows up, and you go, oh, this is amazing for her to believe in it. After a high school drama's production of Alien the Play went viral online earlier this year, the film star Sigourney Weaver made a surprise visit to the school herself to celebrate the show's 40th anniversary.
God, I love her
I know.
Even more.
This is great. Students from the New Jersey High School had performed Alien the Play. Now, do they do it with an all-New Jersey accent? I wonder if they do it that way.
I wonder. Like the situation.
Right. And I wonder if the alien has its hair way up like they do in New Jersey.
The pompadour?
Yeah. The people in New Jersey love to have their hair up really, really high.
Like Snooki.
Snooki. That's who should have played the alien. They should have brought in Snooki instead of Sigourney Weaver. Students from the New Jersey High School.
Too tan. Aliens are not that tan. They're very pale.
Right, because it's space. Had performed Alien the Play on March the 19th and the 22nd, but quickly garnered attention with even the official Twitter account for the Fox film taking notice of their production and their replicated sets and costumes. The kids who made the alien costume, because it doesn't look identical. It looks like a high school version of it, but it's still scary looking. They made it all themselves. They didn't go out and buy a costume. They just made it out of parts around their houses. It's very impressive. They created everything out of recycled materials. Photos and video of the first version of the production had spread online with fans impressed by the students' creativity. In attendance for their encore performance Friday was Sigourney Weaver, who played the character Ellen Ripley in the film that spawned a franchise. The production's Twitter account tweeted a video of Weaver going backstage, that's what I watched, and applauding the students who were stunned to see her. I can't believe you're here right now, one student shouts at the actress, as others continuously clap for Weaver. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm representing all the alien fans all over the universe who think that what you're doing is so cool, Sigourney Weaver told the students backstage. That's impressive.
That is.
We didn't have any of the apostles come when I did Jesus Christ.
That,
that would have been great. Peter's here. This is great. I'm sorry, Kim. She took the time.
Yeah.
That says a lot about her. So that's all I have.
I think that's pretty cool.
That's my whole full alien story.
I love it. What other alien would be a weird play to perform?
It really would.
Is it a musical?
But no, it's not a musical.
Oh, I thought it was a musical.
No. But think about, like, there's a couple of scenes in there that are so iconic to film. I have to say spoiler alert, although I like to think that 40 years later, most people have seen Alien. When the alien plants itself in the guy's stomach and it erupts.
Yeah, just like my pregnancy.
I would love to watch that on stage and see how high school kids tackle that.
I always think of Alien when I go, you know, go on the great movie ride in Disney World. They have the alien part and Sigourney Weaver's
there. That is so good.
Yeah, it's great.
It was so good. It's gone.
The great movie ride?
Yeah, they took that down.
Was it last year? Or 2 years ago.
Two years ago,
I'm
I
so
think.
Sad.
Yeah.
I love that.
That was the best place to go when it was like 90 degrees out.
Oh, yeah,
out.
You could cool off there. Because that was a long ride.
The story.
What did they replace it with?
Was that part of the Star Wars thing?
I think it's part of their Toy Story Land, I think, now. The guy who directed it, Ridley Scott, wanted a true reaction from the actors when the thing burst out of his stomach. So the script
Spoiler
he gave
alert.
Them. Right. Spoiler alert. So the script he gave them differed from what actually happened because he wanted to see how they reacted to this thing jumping out of a guy's stomach. And it was very effective.
I would think so.
They pulled it off really well.
Wow.
In other news, McDonald's straws are now being auctioned off by some overseas for over $1,000.
They are the best straws.
They are the best straws. Dunkin' Donuts has a good straw also, I have to say.
But they've proven, I don't know if you're a Diet Coke or Coke products girl.
I'm a Diet Coke girl.
Me too. So when you get Diet Coke at McDonald's, you wonder why it tastes better than any other fast food place ever.
Why is that?
Straw ratio.
It's the straw. It's also their premix is done.
It's just bubblier.
It's too cold.
More carbonated?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they, there's, I'll find out. But
their ice is good.
Yeah, it's a combination of everything.
I have extra ice, too.
But I think it's like the syrup that goes with the seltzer, it's either premixed or they're both served at cold temperatures.
Oh.
So it goes cold over the ice. I don't know what it is, but the straw, it's proven, it's a little bit bigger in circumference than any other straws.
So
this is why they're
getting more. Yeah. What's going on now is a lot of places are holding back on giving out plastic straws for environmental reasons, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of places
I went out to dinner last night and got a paper straw. I hate them.
That's no big deal. It really bothers you?
Oh, it falls apart.
You get another one.
You know, I never, unless I'm drinking a milkshake or a malt, I never use a straw.
Really?
I get, you know, if I'm out someplace, they'll put one in the drink,
like,
and
I just
don't use it. Do you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the glasses are clean enough, so I like it.
There's no question the glasses aren't
That's
clean.
That's why enough. I use a straw for
yeah.
everything, even in my beer bottle. No, I don't.
Don't you use a silly straw with your beer?
Yes, I do.
I'm not sure why the S
Because you
that.
Said beer. You beer? Said beer kind of funny.
Yeah. All in all, it says it's a good move for the environment, though there's a whole lot of single-use plastics out there. That just use straws. It says, but the paper straws have replaced 1.8 million iconic. Are they going through that many straws? 1.8 million iconic red and gold striped McDonald's plastic straws in the UK. Fans of the fast food chain's milkshakes have taken to the internet to register their dissatisfaction with this switch. So in the UK, like, we've not had this problem yet here in the United States, but it's going to happen soon as more and more places are getting rid of plastic. They're now switching over 100% to paper. So it seems they're not liking the reaction to this. It said suddenly plastic McDonald's straws are in low supply in the UK and in high demand, and that may be why there's at least one eBay user who's attempting to sell McDonald's straws for the hefty sum of 1,000 euros, which translates to $1,118.
Wow.
Jeez.
Now it says, to be fair, it says he's attempting to sell the McDonald's straws. That means he put it up on eBay.
Doesn't
with
mean
one
he'll
of those
get that
nows.
Price.
I can't imagine him getting anywhere close to it, but he's taking a gamble. He thinks he can do it. It says, brilliant, uncirculated, brand-new McDonald's straw. This is in his description on eBay. That is soon to become the stuff of legend. Imagine that you're about 50 years older than you are now, telling your grandchildren about how you were given plastic straws from McDonald's, and that they will all look up to you. It says, if it seems a little outlandish, the real intent of the stunt may be revealed by additional encouragement to sign a 40,000 strong signature petition asking McDonald's to please bring back the plastic straws. I don't see that happening.
No.
Once they make up that their mind on something like that, it's over.
That's overseas. Here, I even wonder if we're ever going to get rid of them.
Do you think so? Because more and more places are. If you request a straw, they'll bring you one, but places that used to just automatically
right.
give you one are holding back.
They are? I haven't
I'm getting
that.
More and more paper straws at restaurants all the time.
And those last, honestly, through half the drink.
Half a drink?
So they give you a couple more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, guys, it's...
I know, it's good for the environment, but
and for the seagulls and the seals, and that's just sickening.
Now, even though I just said this guy's never going to get €1,000 or $1,118 for his straw, in Portsmouth, they have found that there's a seller on eBay who has sold a pack, a 37-pack of McDonald's straws. Right now, the bidding is up to $673 for the 37-pack. This guy's never going to get $1,000 for one straw, but somebody's put up a pack of 37 of them. And so
well,
far,
that's what
we
said about Beanie Babies, too.
Right, right, right. It's funny how, like, fads will come along, and you have to time it just right if you're a buyer or a seller. Because
you know what I'm doing on the way home?
No,
why? I'm stopping at McDonald's
and buying a bunch
straws.
Of straws.
Tanya, go down to Dunkin'. There's a pretty good.
And they're still using the plastic
oh,
ones?
Oh, yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even stores now, there have been a couple grocery stores that when they say paper or plastic, if you go plastic, they kind of look at you like, oh, I guess you just don't care.
Yeah. Wait, for grocery stores?
Yeah.
Mine just assume it's plastic.
Do they?
Yeah, I go to Mariano's, and, you know, once I've had a buildup of enough plastic, I like to do paper.
Because
to be honest with you, I love shopping bags. You know that.
I save them, too. And now that I live down here, you know, it's 7 cents every time you want a bag. So I'm trying to get into the groove of taking bags.
Yeah.
Right.
But they assume I want plastic. Like, if when I ask for paper, they look at me like I have two heads. You want paper?
I get the exact opposite.
Me, too. I always get asked paper or plastic. At my old grocery.
Yeah,
but don't they... Oh, because mine just assume... They say paper or plastic, but when I say paper, they look at me like I'm crazy.
Why are they giving you a strange look on that?
Because it's harder for them. They can...
Is it?
It's just easier to take and put it in a plastic bag, and they make them so thin right now that...
You've got to double bag them sometimes if anything's heavy.
But I mean, I'm sure... I was just hearing on John Williams' show, you can't recycle plastic bags because it mucks up the...
The recycler machine.
Yeah, like you're supposed to bring them back to your store, but not put
them
in recyclable bin.
They cut them out down here and charge you 7 cents because it's
they're
trying to reduce the amount the people use.
They're so thin, it's not even worth getting them anymore.
But it always felt like you were getting an extra item because we would then take those plastic bags from Jewel or Mariano's and then we'd use them in our bathrooms or our bedrooms.
Yeah, that's what we
garbage
we
cans.
Use them.
So I felt like added value.
There you go.
But now I'm learning that we're ruining the planet.
So, it's your fault.
It's my fault. All right, we'll take a break. Kim, thank you
for hanging
out. We'll say goodbye next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, well, that about does it for us here on WGN. Extra, extra, extra long time.
I didn't know that there
was... No, that's gum.
That is gum, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope you'll do the same tomorrow. We're going to be here regardless, so you might as well listen. It's ridiculous. Not even stop the debate. Just listen
You're
in.
You're talking to yourself.
Do everybody a favor. Stop fighting it. Listen
what are we
in.
Fighting for?
What are we fighting for, Wendy? All right, that's it. Bye. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.